It's 9:30. I hope you are all well. May I request Mr. Ramanu to flight the agenda for the meeting? Advocate Romano, can you hear me? Mr. Romano?
Yes, yeah, I can hear you. I'm just trying to upload the document. Yeah, there it is.
Okay, thanks. Colleagues, this is the agenda for today. This is the third meeting of the ad hoc committee. It's Wednesday the 12th. The meeting is at 9:30 and we're meeting every. We have three. And Mzokolo Dano, please mute. Thank you. Three items on the agenda. It's apologies, consideration of minutes. We have two sets of minutes to consider and adopt. And the report on the applications and nominations received. It's just an update on the process. We need to adopt the agenda first. Let me check, Mr. Romano, if we do have the quorum. Romano, do you have a quorum?
Yes, Chairperson, we do have a quorum.
Okay. I see the hand, Honorable Mananiso.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I was on the adoption of the agendas presented. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Having confirmed that we do have the quorum, Ms. Mananiso is moving the agenda for adoption. The second hand is Makwanisha, Honorable Makwanisha.
Thank you very much, Chair. I second.
Thank you very much. The agenda is duly adopted, colleagues. May I check if there are any apologies? Romano, are there any apologies?
Chair, from my side, there's none.
I'm experiencing a break. I'm not too sure if it is on this side or on your side. Can you repeat that?
There's no apology, Chair, from my side.
There's no apology from your side. All right. Ms. Honorable Mananiso, is your hand still up or is the legacy hand? Okay.
Sorry, Chair, it's a legacy hand. Sorry.
Thank you so much. Please drop it. All right, colleagues, thank you very much. Having disposed of the first item, can you flight the first and the second set of the minutes? I would want to take them as read, but please flight them for the colleagues to see if it is the same record that they have in their file. Thank you, colleagues. This is the draft minutes of the ad hoc committee to nominate a person for appointment as public protector, a meeting of the 6th of June, 2023. So this is the attendance. Colleagues, I will just take corrections if there are any. I invite corrections on the side of the attendance. It's the attendance register, all right. Okay, move to, thank you, just continue. Finish the attendance register. Right, item number one is towards election of chairperson. Item number two, remarks by a chairperson. Go to the paragraph three. And it's an adjournment. Are there any corrections, colleagues? It doesn't look like there are any corrections. I present these minutes as the true, I propose this minute, sorry, I present these minutes to your colleagues for adoption. Do I get a mover and a seconder? Malaniso?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the minutes as presented as a true reflection of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The minutes are moved for adoption. Any seconder? Mr. Makwanishe?
A second, Chair.
Mr. Makwanishe, Honorable Makwanishe, seconds. So the minutes are duly adopted. This is the second set, draft minutes of the ad hoc committee to nominate a person for appointment as public protector meeting on the 8th of June. Colleagues, this is the attendance record. Just finished the attendance record. Right, continue. Item number one was the adoption of the agenda. Number two, consideration of draft program. Number three, it's consideration of draft advertisement. Number four, presentation on the appointment process. Number five, adjournment. Are there any corrections, colleagues? There being no corrections, do I get a mover and a seconder for acceptance as the true record, a true reflection of our previous discussion? Can I get a mover? Yes, Honorable Kubudile. Honorable Janji.
I move, Chairperson. I would have been present there. I don't know about Mogwanishe. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Janji. Can I get a seconder? I saw Mananiso's hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second the move for the adoption of the agenda. Well, actually, the minutes, sorry.
Thank you very much. So the minutes are duly adopted. We have now dealt with the second item. We now move to the third item on the agenda. It's an update on the nomination process. Honorable Mokonisha, I see your hand.
Sorry, it's a mistake, Chair. It was time to lower the hand. Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right. Now, we are moving now to the third and the last item on the agenda, an update on the nomination process. Advocate Romano, may I invite you to present the list, just the list of nominees, as well as, just the list of nominees and applicants. So we'll present both lists. The list we consider reflecting valid nominations, and the second list that we I present for comments, because I would propose that we say something on that list, we start with this one. Let me just look at this that we start with. Can we start with the other one?
Should I start with the valid ones?
With the, yes, correct. Whilst he's retrieving the information, I wish to report as follows, that we received 53 nominations and 17 applications. Of the 53 nominations, 32 do not meet the nomination requirements. The nomination process provides for the nomination requirement that every nominator must meet the requirements. Sorry, provides for the nomination process that every nominator must meet to submit a successful nomination. If you minus the 32 that I say do not meet the nomination requirement, it leaves us with 21 valid nominations. So the 21 valid nominations, I'll present it. The list that you see before you includes the 17 applications. So in short, the committee received 21 nominations, let me say valid nominations, and 17 applications. That gives us 38 CVs for consideration by this portfolio committee. The 32 I referred to is now before you, that which I propose that we set aside or declare invalid for non-compliance. So that's the list that is on the screen. So, okay. Yes, sir.
No, I'm getting a bit confused. Initially, I cited the ones that are not valid, and now I have the ones that are valid. So I don't know which one should I fight.
Yeah. Okay. You have dropped it now.
Yeah.
Permit again.
These are the valid ones.
Okay. So the valid ones is 21. Successful nominations and 17 applications. So this list is a list of 38, 21 plus 17 is 38 nominees. Just go down from number one so that the colleagues can see. So let me start with the advocate T. Kumalo is an application. So there was no acceptance letter required, and the qualifications are provided. Then the second name, you can see colleagues, Advocate Tebeile. Third name, Advocate Mangojwa. Fourth name, Advocate Galega. Fifth name, I'm moving too fast. Fifth name is Advocate Ntsewa. Can you proceed? Sixth name, it's Mamodobi Malawudzi. Seventh name is Advocate Tenga. Eighth name is Nombulelo Buchamp, is an application. Ninth name is Advocate Chibi.
Recording in progress.
Tipinyane, continue. Proceed. 10th name is Johanna Ledwaba. 11th name is Dama Lidabe is an application. 12th name is Mr. Roy Lidwaba. 10th name is Advocate Tuleleni Mbanza. 14th name is Richard Koza application. 15th name is Temberger Semani application. 16th name is Kunwana Tswaho. And the 17th is Mandla Ngobo Ngongwane. And the 18th is Advocate Maleka application. 19th is Professor Musinyane application. 20th is Advocate Yossi. And 21st is Miss Lukayimane. 22nd is Advocate Megwa. 23rd is Obakeng Mokoto application. 24th is Advocate Zimema application. 25th is Ngengo Mamburu application. 26th is Madoda Vilakazi application. 27th is Buang Jones. 28th is Tseliso Mongkachane application. Is Elspeth Quinana. 30th is Zanele Klaisa. 31st is Motuso Tsineng. 32nd it's Motuso Tsineng. 32nd Advocate Mapela. Sorry, Mapelela. 33rd is Advocate Mbangeni. 34th, it's Lonis Tiffany's application. 35th is Advocate Mare application. 36th is Tandega Mkwenge application. 37th is Mtimkulu Elizabeth application. 38th, it's Advocate Daba application. As I said, this is 2021 nominations and 17th applications. I hereby, let's go to the second list. I'll come back to you, Advocate Bredenbach and Honorable Bredenbach and Honorable Horn. Then we just finish the presentation on the second list so that we have both lists on the screen.
That's fine, Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Colleagues, this is the second list. This list are people who were nominated and by the nominators, but I think they were not consulted in the nomination process, and as such, there is no CV, no acceptance, and no information on qualifications. So so these are the names. Number one, I'm not going to mention them. I said they're about, can you go right until the end of the list? 32 names. So I would recommend that the committee do not consider, I would recommend that the committee set aside or declare these 32 nominations invalid for non-compliance. So these are the 32 names, invalid in the sense that they did not meet the nomination requirements, as it were. Just to refresh our memories, the advert stipulates that applications and nominations must contain, one, the full name, address, email address, and contact details of the person or organization making the nomination. Two, a signed acceptance of the nomination by the nominee. Three, a curriculum vitae providing the nominee's A, full name, ID, and gender, contact details, including physical address, telephone number, cell phone number, and email address. B, relevant previous work experience, including relevant dates and organizations concerned. C, academic qualifications. D, application. We then said applications and nominations must reach the committee secretary by no later than the 7th of July 2023 at 6 o'clock. So these are the nomination requirements. So hence I'm making this proposal. Maybe let's start with the first list. This list that I'm presenting now of 32 names. Let me hear what you have to say. Were you going to speak on it, Honorable Bredenbach, or you speak on the first one? Honorable Bredenbach, Advocate Bredenbach.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Yes, my first question was, I wanted to see the list of the people who were screened out and see why, but now we've seen that. I thought we weren't going to look at it. My second question is, were the people who were nominated aware that they were nominated? Because I see there that somebody nominated me. I was unaware of that, and I wouldn't have accepted it, but I was completely unaware of it. So I'm not sure that the other people on the list were aware that they were nominated. And they may well have wanted to complete their nominations or complete the outstanding documents. I don't know. So I don't know if you want to have a look at that. And then are we going to narrow this list down a little? To have interviews for 38 people will take an inordinate amount of time. And I think it's way too many people to interview for one position. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm covered by those questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chanchi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was going to raise two things partly covered by Honorable Breitenbach on the other, because my first clarity and a suggestion that I wanted to make is for the 32 that, in fact, yes, the 32 that has not been declared valid, who have not complied with the criteria that should be followed. The first thing would be to firstly clear it out from the Secretariat and yourself, whether as we meet today, all of those 32, including the 38, have been made aware, firstly, and be informed that they've either been nominated, and for the 32, whether they have been informed that they do not meet the criteria and therefore not valid. Hopefully that they are not only seeing that today as we meet. If that has not been done, I would suggest that we do that, Shepherdson. We normally have this problem with departments that somebody applies and never knows, never receives any acknowledgement. They never know what is happening. So for us, for that 32, to just do the basics. So by Friday, to have informed all of them that you have been nominated or you have applied, but you do not meet the criteria and that your application has been declared invalid, so that they know. Whatever comments that you need to get from them, they can send those comments. That would be my first issue. And I think the other one would have been covered by Honorable Breitenbach. I think you'll clarify that, or the Secretary. The second point, Chair, which relates to the other point that Honorable Breitenbach raises, in terms of our program that we adopted in our last meeting, from today, for a couple of days, I think to the 21st of July, it's going to be what you call the public process. In other words, for those 38 names that have met the criteria that are valid, in my understanding is that they are now going to be shared with the public for their comments. And for that reason, Honorable Breitenbach, we would not be in a position to reduce that list. All of the 38 would need to go out. We can only do shortlisting after that public comment on those names. And in regard to that, my last question, Chair, to yourself, perhaps the legal advisor or the secretariat, so that we understand this. What is the test for the public comment? What are we expecting them to do so that we don't have surprises about maybe we can be helped about that. What do we want them to comment on? I understand that it's also a process to help us begin the shortlisting, because we're going to have to consider those comments from the public. But what is the test of that? Because you want to avoid any subjective matters where there is some kind of created lobbying as part of the public comment. And when we deal with that, we then deal with individuals. I would like us to be clear upfront before we're even able to be focused on individual. I hope my clarity and comment is clear in that regard. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chanji. Honorable, your MP iPad. I don't know who this is.
It's me.
Can I get who this is? MP. Yes, it's you. Okay, go ahead, you.
Thank you, Chair.
May I know who this is?
Thank you, Chair. I've got.
May I know who it is? The name, please.
Chairperson, it's Honorable Mawudwe from the EFF.
Oh, Mawudwe. Honorable Mawudwe, over to you. I'm sorry, your iPad is not it's named OP iPad, so I couldn't get your name from the record on the screen. Over to you, Honorable Mawudwe.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got two issues. One is that there seem to be a calculation error. If I heard you correctly, you said there were 52, and then of the 52, 32 would then be declared invalid and therefore left with 21. It should be 20. And then if you receive 17 applications, Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. My apologies. I can hear you very well.
Yeah. So in your introduction, you said there were 52 applications. And of the 52, 32 is declared invalid due to non-compliance and all that. And therefore, you are left with 21. It should actually be 20. And then you received 17 applications. So when you add the 17 and the 20, it's 37, not 38. So I think there's a name that is there, the extra name that is there, that should then ordinarily not, should either be through the applications, or it should be that the invalid ones are then 31, not 32. if I heard you correctly. That was one. Two, Chair, if you want us to accept or adopt the names that are invalid, then somewhere, somehow, we need to be taken into confidence on what process was followed and who was involved into declaring these names invalid, precisely because Honourable Breitenberg says she's on the list of being a nominee, but she was never informed. And as a result, she didn't submit anything. So if that is the case, then I'll have a problem because we're going to adopt names that we've never had a personal involvement as a committee in the process of invalidating or eliminating these names. And now we must adopt them and accept them when we don't know what process and who was involved. And I mean, it's very simple. If you say the deadline was 16 June and therefore these applications came after 16 June, I'm sure there are records of emails being sent or post or whatever means, but there should be records. So we need to be taken into confidence on what process was followed. It's not good enough to just say some of them they didn't submit CVs, some of them they were late and all that. Because now we must vote or we must agree or accept them. That's where my issue is. So we need a more precise process of what was followed, including the names of the people that were involved in that process, so that we know that at least we're adopting this thing based on the secretariat has done its work and this is the report and all that. That will be it for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me just correct just one aspect before I move forward. I thought I said 53 nominations. That we received, 21 were valid nominations. That is, if we minus the 32 that invalid, and plus 17 applications. So 21 plus 17 will give us the 38 that is on the list of valid and nomination stroke applications. All right, but let me just continue. We'll then deal with the rest of the questions and comments later. Galil, hope.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Khalil Prankes. I am an MPL in the Western Cape Legislature. I'm representing Al Jamaa Political Party.
Sorry, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You are not a member of parliament. You've just declared that you are a member of the provincial legislature. That's not how we do it. This is a forum of members of parliament. If there has to be an alternate, that alternate must also be a member of parliament. It can't be from outside parliament. So it was a mistake that I have you as on the list, but you can be in the meeting as one of the public, as a member of the public. My apologies, I will then skip you. I hope we are in agreement.
No, right. It is in order, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I miss to Mr. Heron?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check that we're using the right terminology here when we talk about invalid, because the 32 names that are now being referred to as invalid, I don't think they're invalid. They just didn't accept the nomination. And if you read the advert or the call for nominations, it was very clear in that advert what the requirements were to meet to be appointed as the public protector. But then it also required the nominator or the applicant to include a signed acceptance of the nomination. So, I mean, I'm not sure that we had there was an obligation to go and ask all these people if they were aware they were nominated. The duty was on the nominator, the party or the entity that was nominating these 32 to obtain a signed acceptance of nomination from them. And so I think we must be careful about calling them invalid. They are persons that were nominated, but they never accepted the nomination, according to this document that we were given. And there was an obligation on the nominator to obtain that acceptance of nomination.
Yes, are you done, Mr. Harold? Aaron?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Swart, Honorable Swart, over to you.
Yes, and then after you, Chair. Morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I just want to support what the Honorable Heron has said, because the advert set out very clearly what the directions are for the nomination process. However, we've got some very eminent persons who have been nominated, including the Chief Justice, a Judge President, other judges, other top lawyers. And I think the important point is these are not invalid persons. They're eminent candidates. They'd be excellent candidates. But the whole point is they were not consulted and did not comply with the requirements for nomination. And I think we need to make that very clear. I just wanted to support what Mr. Aaron said. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Klappe, you are the last person on the matter.
Yeah, good morning, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity. Chair, I also want to support the notion that the advert was clear on the 32 names that are invalid. It is also the onus lies with your nominator to inform this person that I'm nominating you, and this is the requirement. Now, this was discussed in our previous meeting when we were looking at the advert. So the advert, according to our agreement, was clear and straightforward as to the requirements. When you nominate a person, you need to source the acceptance letter, you need to source the CV and all those. Now, Chair, I would agree with the honorable members that are saying, let's set this once aside. Honorable Janji has proposed that they be informed that the nominations were not successful. And Chair, on the other matter that I was looking at the notes of our last meeting, we also agreed, Chair, that according to our program, when the closing date comes and CVs has been received, the secretariat will go through that as their process. Sift the CVs received according to the advert and make a determination of which ones are valid, which ones are not valid. Bring them so that we agree they go for public participation, for public participation or comments. So I would agree, Chair, that we are still on course at this point. For me, that matter was dealt with. We were expecting that when this comes before us, a determination would have been done. We said in our own words that was an administrative purpose. Administrative process. So I am okay, Chair, with the fact that let's deal with the 32, inform them that it was not successful, and allow the process to move forward to where we are, publish those that are valid. Thanks.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Advocate Romano, may I ask you to flight the 32 names again? Colleagues, based on the discussion, I think Honorable Heron and Honorable Swart and Honorable Klappe have clarified why the 32 names set aside because they did not comply with the nomination requirements that required that there must be an acceptance letter. So the duty was on the part of the nominator to inform the nominee, his or her nominee, and ask that the nominee must accept the nomination, and then furnish him or her with his or her CV, which would include the qualification. Now, the acceptance, that there is no acceptance letter, there is no CV, and there's no qualification. I recommend that these 32 names, we're not dealing with the names, we're dealing with the nominations. Is the nomination that we say is valid, invalid, not the people who are nominated. It's just the nomination. It's invalid for non-compliance. So I hereby recommend that we set aside or declare invalid the 32 nominations for non-compliance. Do I get a mover and a seconder on that recommendation I'm making, colleagues?
Got my hand, Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Nkosi Buthelezi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to all my colleagues. I just want to move that all these names that don't comply with the requirements are considered invalid and be set aside, as per what the Chair said. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And is there any objection to that?
Yes, Chair. Please register our objection as the EFF.
Thank you very much. It's noted. Any other objection? Okay. So the decision is that we set these three names aside for non-compliance. Let's go to the list of 38 names. I make these recommendations, colleagues. I recommend that the committee declares the 38 nominations as having passed the first sifting process, and two, grant the committee secretary permission to go ahead with the publication on the website of the 38 CVs for public comments for the period beginning 12th, which is today, to the 21st of July. Do I get a proposer and a seconder? Anyone who propose acceptance to this recommendation?
Swart proposes, Chair, thank you.
Honorable Swart proposes, any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Honorable Makwanishe seconded, and is there any objection, colleagues, to note it? There is no objection. So we've dealt with the two lists. then we can then go to the next issue that the colleagues raised. There was a point that Honorable Brendan Bach raised whether we would narrow this list down at some point. There was the response from Honorable Makwanishe that we are not at that at the moment. The 32 names are yet to be published for public comments. And then after, we then meet to do a second round of shortlisting. After we have looked at the comments arising from the public participation process. So that process, so that's the proposal by Honorable Makwanishe. Does Honorable Brendan Bach, does that address, I'm coming back to you because you raised the issue, does Honorable Makwanishe answer you satisfactorily?
Actually, it was not.
Actually, it was, probably the judge, but yes, it covered
Honorable Janji. Honorable Chanchi. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chanchi, for that correction. Does that address your concern, Honorable Bredenbach, so that I then put that one aside?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, it does.
Thank you very much. And then there's a point that Honorable Chanchi raised that we need to look at. Is what are we inviting the public to comment on? I don't know, but I thought I would say on that one, I'm making this as a proposal. We're inviting the public to comment on the suitability of the candidates. The suitability is viewed against the selection criteria, and I'm not quite certain if we need to start look at the attributes or qualities that each candidate must possess, and then publish those to guide the process. Can I get guidance on that, colleagues? Honorable Horn?
Yes, thank you, Chair. While suitability might be a bit of a catch-all phrase, I think we should try and follow as closely as possible the wording set out in the Constitution, which of course deals with the, I want to say, the technical requirements, the admission as an attorney or an advocate, etc., but also critically speaks about the fact that candidates must be fit and proper. And I believe that we should use those specific words also when we invite the public to comment on the suitability of candidates. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn. Honorable Janji.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Horn has covered me. I think that's a very important aspect of it, because we anchor our work on Section 193 of this process. And therefore, the Constitution has certain determinations there. But I was also hoping that if then the publication goes out from tomorrow, Friday, that the Secretariat and yourself would have prepared something that we needed to, because the last thing you want to do is to have some creations that are not going to help us. But if that has not been done, Honorable Horn's point is well supported by myself, because I was asking that question in order to avoid any free-for-all kind of public commentary on these names, so that we know what the expectations are. We clearly confined about when they do that, when we meet, we would be considering these comments in relation to these specific matters, not to be all over the place. But Honorable Horn confines it that so that suitability is expressed much more, and there's no better way to do that than anchoring that in terms of the Constitution. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So we're therefore saying this: a suitable person for nomination as public protector must be a South African citizen, must be fit and proper, and must comply with the requirements as prescribed in national legislation. The national legislation lists the qualification criteria that person must have, must be a judge, and so on and so forth. So I think we would make that clear when we publish the names. Do you agree on that? Any objection? No objection. Please, Romano, Advocate Romano, take note of that. All right. So, colleagues, I think we have considered all this. Colleagues, what we have since done, just for information, is the summary of the CVs, all right, of each candidate. Can you flag that the summary, Advocate Rimona, is for information to members? Maybe they would want to add something. So this is the summary when we meet to look at each name. I don't know if you need us to add any to any information on the way we have captured it. For example, let's take this candidate. Just finish the candidate. This is the summary that we are providing. The CVs are available. So what do we publish? I need guidance on that. We publish the CVs itself, or the summary, or the CV together with the summary. Can I get your guidance on that one? I don't see the names, the hands. Just scroll it right to the end, Comrade Ramano, because for as long as it is on the screen, I will not see the hands. So this is the summary. All right. Now I can see the hands. Honorable Vessels has not spoken. I'll come back to, maybe Sixstone wants to guide us. Maybe can I?
Yes, yes. I was going to ask for that order, so that we are guided.
Okay. Okay, it's fine. Now then, let me hear here before I come to you, Honourable Sixstone.
Chairperson, in the past, we published a redacted version of the CV. I would be cautious about publishing summaries of CVs. We would have to remove certain information anyway, certain personal information. But in the past, what we've done is we publish the redacted CV. So we take out, you know, anything like ID numbers or stuff that could that would be regarded as sort of personal information, very, very personal, sensitive information. We remove that.
Thank you very much for that is the guidance from parliamentary section of our staff, Honourable Vessels, and then Honourable Heron.
No, thank you so much, Chairperson. No, I completely agree. I think the redacted versions of the CVs should be published. And I also agree that summaries should not be published, especially I think it's an internal summary with the comments and so forth. So the redacted CVs, I propose we publish.
Thank you very much. Honourable Heron, oh, your hand is still up? No, okay. So there's acceptance that we publish the redacted CVs and that the summary is for our own internal processing or work of the committee. All right, so I think there's no objection to that. So we will publish all the redacted CVs. In particular, we'll remove the personal information like ID numbers, addresses, telephone numbers, etc. And then two, the publication will come with a guide that says the committee, the public must look at the suitability and then list what suitability means in our case, that the candidate, the nominee must be a South African, fit and proper, and must comply with the requirements as stipulated in legislation. So that is that. I think we are now towards the end, colleagues. Let me just, having agreed to that, let me just check if we have, all right. So we're publishing them from today till the 21st of July. And then we meet, so we have set aside, I want to remind you, colleagues, that we have set aside 24 to the 28th of July for shortlisting. I don't think we need all these days. I'm not quite certain if you want to comment on the shortlisting process now, the number of days, whether it will be physical or virtual, and whether the shortlist must be a specific number. If so, how do we get to that number? I think Honorable Janji attempted to address the issue of shortlisting, that let's cross the bridge after we have received let's deal with that after we've received the public comments. But I'm not quite certain if, even as he makes this suggestion, we can't determine the number that we want to, the specific number that we want to shortlist. But what is critical is how do we get to the number? For example, if we say, having done all this, the number must be not more than 10, for example. Could be any number, but not more than 10 or more than 15. And I don't know if you want to comment on that, or you want to leave this, but I'm worried that if we don't deal with it today and leave it till until we have received the public comments, it will be too late for all of us to plan our work as a committee. So to sequence issues, I would say that we must meet immediately after the 21st of the committee to then do the shortlisting. So that 21st is between the 24th and the 28th. So can we then comment on the shortlisting process? Honorable Chanji?
No, Chair, I just want to propose that based on experience, and would have done a lot of this with my colleagues in the justice space, I would suggest concretely that we don't need more than 1 day for the shortlisting. 1 day would suffice for us to do the shortlisting. And we could even take half a day, not even the full day, to do that shortlisting. So we can cut all other days. You can then indicate which of those days will be that 1 day that we use for shortlisting. But at this stage, I would be very wary. I'm very allergic for us to get to any number. I would want us to allow the process of the public commentary to take place. And not even determine whether it's 10, 12, or 8. We deal with that later on after we would have received the public comments. Not that it depends on that, but it just makes more sense so that we allow all of the 38 or whatever names, and then we certainly are not going to be interviewing all of them. But I think it's quite premature at this stage to get to that number of how many would like to shortlist. And I would like to err on the side of wait and see. And when we get to that full day, we should be in a position to then determine the number of how many would be shortlisting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Colleagues, do we agree that it must be 1 day? You have not commented on whether it should be virtual or physical, but I want to assume
Chair. No, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Certainly, Chair. Remember, we discussed this before, that from where I'm sitting, we did say that perhaps today will be the last time we meet virtually. From that point of the shortlisting, we must be in one room and do this physically, Chair. Because we must get ready to be physical. The interviews and everything else is not going to be necessarily virtual for it to be very effective. Thank you, Chair. So I'll go for physical setup.
Colleagues, Honorable Janji is making a firm proposal, one, that the shortlisting must be for 1 day. let us, we must set one day aside for shortlisting, to be specific. Set aside one day for shortlisting. Two, the meeting must be physical, it must be in Parliament. And then three, that we don't specify the number of the shortlisted candidates. Now let's adopt a wait and see and then make the determination after we have received the public comments. Is there any objection to that firm proposal?
Chair, I've got the fourth one.
You've got the fourth one. Okay, let me just deal with this. Don't have object to these three, eh?
Wait, you hear me out first. The fourth one is that Janji speaks for the ANC, not for us. He's not our spokesperson. This thing of you consulting Janji on everything. Janji, what are you saying? You don't comment on this. No, don't do that. This is not an ANC caucus. This is a parliamentary committee. All of us must be allowed to speak. You can do those things in your, what do you call those things of yours, of caucus there, not here. Janji speaks for ANC, not for us, please.
Just to, no, I hear you. Janji is speaking.
Said on a lighter note. I think she's saying it on a lighter note.
It is on a lighter note. In actual fact, she is supporting your firm proposal. any objection? Honorable Janji has proposed, seconded by Honorable Mawate. And any objection, colleagues, to this firm proposal? No objection. Thank you very much. Colleagues, I think we have done sufficient work to take us right up to the date that will appoint between the 24th and the 28th of July. Let me just check. Must it be a Wednesday or a Tuesday? What do you prefer, colleagues? Certainly not a Monday. I'm sure we can determine the date now of the next sitting, so that we leave this meeting with a date. Let me just check. The 24th, it's of July. It's a Monday. So
yeah, I propose a Monday, 24th.
Monday.
Yeah, I think they would have closed on Friday. So yeah. Monday, let's shoot. Let's go for it, please.
Okay, let me see if there's any support for that.
Honorable, Janji must forget me on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I would suggest that we rather look at the Tuesday, the 25th, in order to get the Secretariat the opportunity to circulate the comments and for us to digest it maybe on the Monday before we embark on shortlisting. Thanks.
I think it also allows us a day to order the information for the committee. And I think we this day, Monday and Tuesday, allowed us to clean up the information so that we present, an orderly presentation today. Wednesday suited us very well, but I think Tuesday will still be proper. Let me check with administration. Tuesday or Wednesday? Taking into account the amount of work that would have to be done to put the information together for the committee.
From my side, I've not spoken to my colleagues, but I think Wednesday would suit us much better.
And Honorable Vessel, would you want to, what is your comment on that? Wednesday, it allows time to do the necessary work for this committee.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think that is fair, and I think it is sufficient and better if we do it on the Wednesday. So I would propose Wednesday the 26th.
Thank you very much. Having motivated for that, is there any seconded by Honourable Vessel, is there any objection to us meeting on Wednesday? Let me just look at the date. So the next meeting of the committee will be on the 26th of July. To do the shortlisting. Agreed?
Chair, I would have supported Monday, but Wednesday is very pragmatic. It's very practical. So, sorry, Honorable Maude, I go for Wednesday. No objection.
Thank you very much.
We see you. Janji, we see you.
Okay, colleagues, I think we can then end the meeting on that note. Let me thank all of you for the meeting, and that we adjourn it until we meet again on the 26th of July. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your time. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Amandla Slalo.